Thank you very much. Actually, I think I'm the only speaker today, and Roland is sitting somewhere there and having a good time listening to me once again. Okay, my name is Johannes Grenzfurtner, but forget about that. I'm part of Monochrome, a collective from Vienna, Austria, long way over the Atlantic. And basically, we are on a small tour through North America, and maybe that picture says a lot of North America. We took it 2 days ago in Philadelphia. We the people under construction, and Monochrome basically thought about a nice title for today's talk or talk gala or whatever we call it. And first we thought maybe we'd call it No Power for Theory and Our Practice. And then we thought, no, that's not a good title. Maybe we should call it There's Something Rotten in the State of Argentina. Maybe there's a lot of rotten in the state of Argentina if we talk about neoliberal politics nowadays, but not a good title for today. So maybe I never promised you a Roswell report. Maybe that's a good title. No. Maybe Entropy in the UK. But we're in the wrong like country. Okay. Maybe that's good. New German dark wafers, we're gonna find you. Any German dark wafers here? Well, I thought that. So, or maybe Jesus loves you more than you will know. Woo, woo, woo. Maybe a bad title too. But actually, our good Roland Grazo sitting back there is constantly waiting for the second coming. So maybe if he sees Jesus, he could actually shout out loud, okay? So. But then we thought maybe the best title would be We Are Great Together, the Liberal Society and Its Enemies. And I think that's maybe a good statement about the United States of America. Okay, first of all, what do we do? We are a collective of scientists, artists, people dealing with technology, whatever. And Monochrome is our name. And we thought we are at a hackers convention here. We thought maybe we present ourselves with a nice like cyber art picture, and we thought maybe about this one. I think it gets the feeling a little bit better what we are doing. And I'd like to tell you a couple of anecdotes, so as long as I have time, about projects we did in the last couple of years. And I'd like to start with a project with the title Georg Paul Thomann, because I mean, basically, I think we're invited here to HOPE because we do a lot of our projects in the sector of, let's call it culture jamming, or I would call it context hacking, okay? So a couple of years ago, in the year 2001, we have been invited by a curator from Slovenia to participate in a really, really big art event in São Paulo. It was called the Biennale of São Paulo, and the Biennale of São Paulo for you who don't know anything about like big art superstructures, the Biennale in São Paulo is like the third biggest art event in the world. There's the Documenta in Kassel, there's the Venice Biennale in Venice, and then there's the Biennale in São Paulo in the Southern Hemisphere. And basically, we were invited as Monochrome, as a group, we were really highly surprised about that, to represent the Republic of Austria at this big art event. And then we thought about it, I mean, representing Austria, actually we didn't want to do that at all. Basically because there was a big political shift in the year 2000 in Austria. So the Conservative Party teamed up in a coalition with the far-right Freedom Party. So it was a really, really messy, extremely conservative government, and it's still working nowadays. And so it said, we don't want to represent this country with this, like, let's call it government, somewhere in the world. But we had the idea to, maybe we could do something about that. And then we had the idea not going there ourselves, but sending somebody else there. So we could actually, we have been chosen to do the task. So we said, okay, we want that Georg Paul Thomann goes there. And Georg Paul Thomann was 57 years by that date. He was like a big Austrian avant-garde artist. He did a lot of work. He even worked together with Survival Research Labs, and he wrote the first German cyberpunk short story and a lot of stuff in Viennese actionism, and pretty famous guy. And many people were really like, yeah, Georg Paul Thomann goes to the Biennale for Austria. That's excellent, and many newspapers wrote about it and stuff like that. But basically, Georg Paul Thumann doesn't exist. So we made him up. He's an art avatar, let's call him, okay? So most of the time, we wrote his biography, and it grew about 500 pages of biography and about all the things Georg Paul Thumann did. That's really interesting because we could cram all the information about the last 40 years of pop culture and the last 40 years of art history and societal history. We could cram all of this together in this like condensed version and call it Georg Paul Thumann and what Georg Paul Thumann did. Actually, there's Günther Friesinger, and he has the book. Yeah, give it to the people. okay. I show it. It's a really, really thick book. And actually, nobody realized that Georg Paul Thumann didn't exist. Nobody researched about it. So we went to the Biennale in Sao Paulo. And the interesting part, and that's everywhere in the world, is it like in big companies, is it in art structures, wherever, there is a clear hierarchy. So it's all about hierarchies, even if the hierarchies are really flat. But a flat hierarchy still is a hierarchy. And so we came there, and the problem was for ourselves, and that was good, that we weren't the artists there, we just were the technical support team of Georg Paul Thumann. So we nailed, and we did, and we hang up his stupid paintings and all the stuff. That's him, actually. That's a wonderful artwork he did. It's called Material Study with Scanned Photo of Self in a Beer Mood and Photoshop Crystallization Filter. okay, so we were there, we were the technical support team, and we were like the bottom of the hierarchy, you can imagine. There's like the administration board, there's the top curators, there's the curators, the top artists, artists, technical support team, and even below the technical support teams are the art guides, so the people showing people around and explaining them. So really, like a really important task, even like in modern art and contemporary art. So, but that's really the bottom line of the hierarchy. So we were sitting there, and nobody talked to us. They're just calling, "Where is Georg Paul Thumann? Can we speak to Georg Paul Thumann?" And we just said to them, "Yeah, he's sitting in his hotel room and watching the porn channel." So we don't. I mean, we're just a technical support team, you know. But we had the interesting idea, because we wanted to flip the hierarchies a little bit. We had the idea to tell the people in the other technical support teams and the people from the art guides to basically tell them the whole story. So we didn't tell them, you are not allowed to talk about the fake and to talk about the project. So it's up to you. It's your free will. You can tell whomever you like, whatever you like. And that was really interesting, because all over this like big, big art event, the bubbles of rumors started. Bubble, 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 bubble. Yeah, Georg Paul Thumann, he's here. What? He's watching the porn channel? Oh, no. Blah, 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 blah. It was a real, real big mess. An interesting anecdote was that we wanted to get our art catalogs with the picture of Georg Paul Thumann and stuff like that. So we went to the clerk to get the catalogs, and the clerk said, "Actually, are you Georg Paul Thumann?" And I said, "No, I'm not Georg Paul Thumann. Georg Paul Thumann is a fake." And he said, "What? He's a fake artist here? No, no, no. You don't get any catalogs." So we didn't get any catalogs. Okay, fine. The rumors turned, the bubble bursted, and there was an interesting thing, because basically we're leftists. We're a leftist political group, actually, art group. So we think a lot about solidarity. How can there be a new form of solidarity in a global societal and capitalist system that is totally against solidarity? So we think a lot about stuff like that. And there was an interesting incident at this biennial that next to our art cube, you know, like the commodity value of an artist, there's a small white cube and a small white cube and a small white cube and a small white cube, and there's people sitting in there and they're working. They're like Coca-Cola cans, yeah? And there was, next to our white cube, was the white cube of the official representative of Taiwan, Chen Qichang. Basically, he's from New York, or he is now living in New York. And Chen Qichang had a strange problem. Just two or three days before the opening of the event, the big event, somebody had removed his country's name tag. So there were like adhesive letters on the outside of each white cube. And On the Austrian white cube, there was Georg Paul Thumann, Austria. And on his white cube was Chen Shih-chang, Taiwan. And the Taiwan was removed and replaced by Taipei Museum of Fine Arts, so the museum that represented him there. So he was really upset about that because he did a really critical piece of art, political piece of art, about mental asylums in Taiwan, and they are like really strange and inhuman and stuff like that. So he really wanted to represent Taiwan and criticize Taiwan by that way. So he was upset, and he talked to people in the government, in the administration, and nobody could tell him anything. And so he wrote an open letter, and he was really pissed, and actually wanted to leave the biennial. And then we found out about, and like he sent out an open letter to all the other artists, and we saw it, and then we went to him and asked him what happens. And we did a little bit of research, and then we found out that China made a lot of troubles, because China doesn't accept Taiwan as a single country, one China policy. So China basically said, okay, we are leaving or Taiwan is leaving. And then the administration said, okay, we don't want to China or Taiwan leave, so we just remove Taiwan and still can stay without the name tag, actually. So, and we thought, okay, there's like this big diplomatic battle behind the scenes between like China and Taiwan and the administration. And so we had the idea to somehow support Chen Shih-chang, or to a form of solidarity campaign. And we, basically that was Thumann's exhibition. So Georg Paul Thumann, Austria, removed the T from Austria and donated it to Taiwan. And then we, Austria, oh, wonderful. And you see T-A-I, the I was from Puerto Rico, and Canada. And I said, hey, come on, Canadians, you have three A's. You can give me an A, come on, yeah? And we got the A, and finally we managed to make like Taiwan on the outside of the cube. The W was a little problematic. We couldn't get a W, but we were like really like, we are artists, we are creative, so like, you know, an O can turn a W sometimes. So Chen Shih-chang was highly like he was really like, he really liked it, so he stayed at the biennial, and many Taiwanese and even American newspapers came and did pictures and interviewed Chen Shih-chang. And like I think 3 or 4 days later, there were a couple of headlines in Taiwanese and even Chinese newspapers, and there was a really great headline in the Taipei Times. It was, Austrian artist Georg Paul Thumann saves Taiwan. So I think that's as radical as postmodernism can get. So a non-existing artist saves a non-existing country. there are a lot of anecdotes about the life and times of Georg Paul Thumann, or like art probe or art history probe, let's call it. But we killed him last year in 2005, I want to believe. He's buried in a small village in Tyrol, in Austria, and we organized all of it in, like, in a park, and there's the tombstone. It's actually the only tombstone in the world with an engraved URL on it. monochrome.at/Thumann. It was really fine. He actually died on the 21st of July, you know, moon landing and stuff, yeah. But we did it together with a couple of interesting folks in this small village. And like a couple of months later, the people who helped us organize the burial, the funeral, they called us and they told us on the phone that the tombstone had to be removed. And I asked them, but it was all like set it with the mayor, and so why is the tombstone gone now? And they said, basically, like next to this park where the tombstone is, there's a hospital for people with nervous illnesses and like mental illnesses. So, and many of those patients from this hospital went to Georg Paul Thumann, prayed for him, laid down flowers. You can see them there, and were highly upset about the dead Georg Paul Thumann there. So the head of the hospital said, the non-existing dead artist has to be removed. So he was removed, and now finally he could stop to non-exist somehow. So I don't know where the tombstone now is. I think it's laying around somewhere in this tiny little town of Hall in Tirol, if you should go there sometime. Okay, that was the first story of my talk about Georg Paul Thomann. You actually have to tell me when I have to stop. I don't have a clue about time. maybe I should stop talking and show you a short film we did a couple of years ago. It's called Me, and I think it should start. It's in German with English subtitles, sorry.
Ich hatte vor ungefähr 5 Jahren einen Unfall. Meine Frau und ich, wir wollten damals unser Haus renovieren, und ich habe einen guten Freund von mir eingeladen, der sollte uns dabei helfen. Und zwar wollten wir da an einem Sonntagnachmittag die Hausfassade reinigen, also den alten Verputz herunterkratzen. Und dabei ist mir ein relativ großes Stück Mörtel auf den Kopf gefallen. Seitdem habe ich einen schweren neurologischen Defekt. Und zwar ist das letzte Bild stecken geblieben. Und zwar ist das das Bild meines Freundes, der mir zuruft, ich soll aufpassen. Und dieses Bild sehe ich seitdem Tag aus Tag ein. Und zwar nur dieses Bild. Ich habe dann schon sehr bald jeglichen Kontakt zu meinem Freund abgebrochen, weil ich es einfach nervlich nicht mehr ertragen hätte, neben seiner ständigen Anwesenheit in meinem Gesichtsfeld dann auch noch sozusagen akustisch mit ihm zu tun zu haben. Das hätte ich einfach nervlich nicht mehr durchgehalten. Da war ich psychologisch viel zu instabil. Ich habe dann natürlich diverseste Nervenkliniken besucht und bin eigentlich durch ganz Europa gekommen auf der Suche nach Ärzten, die mir mit meinen Problemen helfen konnten, und hat aber eigentlich alles nichts gebracht. Ich habe dann aber nach einiger Zeit herausgefunden, wie ich den Zustand zumindest ein bisschen ändern kann. Und zwar, wenn ich mit dem Kopf gegen den Kasten haue, dann ändert sich die Farbsättigung des Bildes. Und manchmal funktioniert es auch nochmal, dann wird die Farbsättigung nochmal verändert. Und wenn ich besonders Glück habe und wirklich stark hinhaue, dann ändert sich auch der Kontrast. Aber das war es im Wesentlichen schon.
Yeah, that was like a small tribute to the guy who invented Photoshop and Oliver Sacks. Okay, I'd like to go to the next project. Actually, we are doing a project a week, so it's just a couple of them. It's called Türme von Hanoi, the Towers of Hanoi. Never change a running system. And I have to play two people now. So this voice will be the voice of Johannes Ullmeier, and this voice will be the voice of the bank clerk. Okay? So try to put him, try to... Whatever. I'm a little bit like, I had lunch before, and I think you, the Americans worked out to cram sugar and fat into one molecule, and they call it Cinnabon, okay? And I'm really, I can't think, I shouldn't have lunch before that. Or maybe you don't eat it at lunch, I don't know. Whatever. Okay, this is Johannes Ullmeier, and now he enters a bank, and it's the Bank zum Erfolg, the bank to success. And that's the bank clerk, and he wants to exchange money. And yeah, okay, hello, I'd like to exchange 50 euros to dollars. Okay, here is your receipt and the dollars. Ah, yeah, thank you very much. And now I'd like to exchange these 2 euros. We can cancel that. No. But you'll take a loss on that. Well, that's the nature of things. It's 44 euros. And the leftovers. Thank you very much.
So this is $35.
Fine, I'll exchange those 2 euros then.
Uh-huh. So there are 35 for you.
Yeah, and I'll exchange those $2.
Have you got some change left? I need 87 cents.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, you get $27.
Well, can you exchange them for euros, please?
€23.59.
Yeah, that's fine with me. Okay. All right, let's exchange that $2, please. What will it be?
I need €23.50.
Yeah, that was 19. Okay, can I get euros for that? Yeah, dollars, please.
$11.
I see. Euros, thanks.
Now I'll have a look.
Yeah, $2, please. Yeah.
We'll be done in no time now.
Yeah, I'll have those exchanged. Yeah, thank you. 40 cents. Can I exchange 40 cents?
No.
Okay, I'll bid you thanks then.
You're welcome.
Now we have seen how that portion of the constant capital which consists of the instruments of labor transfers to the production only a fraction of its value, while the remainder of that value continues to reside in those instruments. Karl Marx.
Question mark!
Okay. Question mark. No, no, no. Question mark. There are $20 trillion on the planet in cash. So there's no gold in banks, no money on bank accounts, just the cash. $20 trillion. How often, how many iterations does it take to exchange $20 trillion to euros, to dollars, to euros, to dollars, to euros, until they're gone? How often? So, and I would say the person in the room who gets the closest bit wins Georg Paul Thoma's biography. Try it.
50.
Ooh. Yeah.
500,000.
500,000. Ooh. I mean, if you're interested, I'm sure. I mean, you can scribble it down. No. More. 500,000, 50. 60 million. Wow.
49.
49. Ooh.
It should be an infinite number.
An infinite number, it's getting better. Okay. More?
Can I get one, please, Bob? 10 billion.
10 billion, wow. Come on. Yeah, come on. Just shout it out, whatever.
2,000. How long does it take to do the exchanges and you accrue interest on the money that you have?
So you want to know like how many like percent like percentage we did or something like that. It's all written in there. I think it's 3.63. We did actually the same exchange as in the bank in Austria. So that's, I think, yeah, come on. Well, okay, but I think we'll stop now, and I tell you the answer. It's 849 times, and 18 cents will remain. I think it should be like 19 cents. We did the iterations in an Excel, in a Microsoft Excel table, and there's 1 cent missing. You know, like there's 1 cent always going to Bill Gates. So. It's 849 times. I think who was the closest? I think 500 was close. Oh no, there was
48.
No, there was 50. There was 50 and 500. Who said 500?
No, there was 2,000 and there was 49.
I said 500,000.
500,000. Oh, sorry.
49.
It's 49. So
50. Somebody said 50.
Who said 50?
Yes, but 49. It's closer to 49. Is closer.
He or she is,
yes.
I would say this is a free country. Whoever said 50 gets it, okay? I'll put it here, I would say. Okay, Roland, how's the time?
Half time,
wonderful. Okay, then I would say, yeah, is mankind to blame? Of course. And I would say, don't get asleep.
I'm an artist, I can do whatever I like. But I won't get any funding for it. So,
okie dokie. I would say there is a topic that might interest you a little bit more than exchanges, or I don't know. It's, let's call it retro gaming, because we started a project a couple of years ago, and it's called Soviet Unterzugersdorf. We wrote an adventure game. And this adventure, I think we published it, like, it's, of course, Creative Commons license, and you can, you know. We put it on the internet in September 2005. We worked about 1.5 years on it. And basically, it's a computer game that's based on a project we did a couple of years before that. Because we are from Europe, and we are highly interested in, like, the post-World War II history of Europe and what happened. Basically, we come from, like, the postmodern wing of philosophy, I would call it. So we basically don't believe in history. There is no history. There are only, like, fragmented forms of history. So how can there be something like a history of Europe or a history of Austria or a history of whatever, okay? So we said we want to play with the history of Europe and implant a small, tiny little country called Soviet Unterzugersdorf into the country of Austria. It's only like 15 square miles big. It's really small, and it lacks in everything. It lacks in people, in knowledge, in whatever. But it still exists. It has a Schengen outer border, of course, and it survived the decline of the Soviet Union, and it's the last remaining Soviet country on the planet. And in 2001, 10 years after the fall of the Soviet Union, we organized with a bus, a big shuttle bus, we organized a vacation in Soviet Unterzugersdorf. So many people could go to Soviet Unterzugersdorf, and there basically, it was a pretty funny idea to do it, but we dealt with topics like historiography, what can we do, what can we tell about history. On the first view, it just looks like a mock-up of the Soviet Union, but basically, actually, it's more a mock-up of neoliberal society nowadays, and most of the information we crammed into the computer game is basically more about nowadays than about some collapsed form of communism that actually never was a communism. Okay, so, I mean, if you're interested, I can show you a couple of... Should I play a little bit for you, or are you more interested in just downloading it? Shall I show? Okay, I'll show you a little bit about it. And now I have to admit, it's a fucking Windows machine.
Hey, don't say that about my laptop.
It's her laptop. At least it's her, it's not mine. No. I'm so afraid. It's a Siemens machine with Windows on it. Oh, how bad can it get? So... Oh, hui. Of course, there's a Linux version and an Apple version for that, of course. Okay, let's start a new game. I mean, can you see it's like in Russian with English subtitles? I hope
Дорогие
you can read it.
Товарищи из так называемых
or shall I read it to
you? Стран. Моя родина,
can you read
Советский Унтерцюгерсдорф.
And basically, he tells the story about this country, okay?
Whatever.
Oh, holy heart.
It's
basically the thing I already told you.
В основном перевозки гальки и топливной энергетики, планы последних пятилеток форсировали сельское хозяйство. По причинам политической и экономической изоляции это наш народ, последний советский унтер. Мы знаем распад с недостатком природных ресурсов, иностранные почти невозможным кажется, но это знак.
I'll skip all that. Let's play. Okay.
Семь часов по советско-унтерцюгерсдорфскому времени. Секретарь партии Гомолка выходит на утреннюю смену. Всем сердцем стремится он послужить своей великой родине. Но что такое? Задний двор имени Красного Октября, на котором уже видны следы экономического упадка, замусорен выше всякой меры.
Что это за беспорядок? Этого вчера тут еще не было.
So, actually, we chose, we thought to transfer this theater performance we did with this real, like, invasion of Soviet Unterzirkelsdorf. We thought we would try to, we should, like, convert it to a computer game to export it all over the world. And basically we thought we should do some kind of like a retro gaming format. So it's, of course, it's an adventure game. So only like 1% of all computer games nowadays produced are adventure games. So the adventure game is kind of a really like dead form of computer gaming. So we thought it's interesting to take this like dead format of state communism and take this nearly dead format of adventure gaming and combine it together. So there is Party Secretary Gomulka, and he can look around. For example, he can have a look at the trash. Or he can have a look at what is that? A piece of cloth.
Это остатки военной формы товарища Титова, героя родных военно-воздушных сил и космонавта. Он сгорел при входе в атмосферу. Печальная история.
So, of course, you can take all the stuff, so I'll take the piece of cloth.
Отдадим последний долг товарищу Титову этой тряпкой.
Okay, and now you can look in the inventory, of course. And there you see the piece of wiping cloth and the passport. Ah, let's have a look how you look like. Yep. That's how you look like. Okay, but basically, I mean, there's lots of trash, and yeah, you come from to your shift, and there's lots of trash, so what you can do, of course, you can pick up all the trash, but you can do that at home yourself. So let's go to the next place. Oh, what's that?
Slayer. Это что это такое? Кто это разрешил? Где дежурный?
There's Slayer written on the wall in Soviet Unterzirkelsdorf, and there's no night guard, so it gets really, like, serious, I would say.
Это телефонная будка номер 32. Средство мгновенной коммуникации. Чудо родной техники.
So let's open it. I would say it's best to contact the Supreme Soviet. I mean, I think it's necessary. And I would say, what can I call... I'll ask him, what is a slayer?
Объясните, пожалуйста, что такое slayer?
Slayer. Американская группа. Трэш-метал. Основанная в Хунтингтон Парк в Калифорнии в 1982 году. Члены группы. Том Арая, бас-вокал. Керри Кинг.
Whatever. Hang up. And I think I'll transmit the message to the people. And I think maybe this one.
Coca-Cola и политика тесно связаны друг с другом. Теснее, чем принято считать.
So, okay, let's hang up. Let's go back. I would say I walk. Changed him? No, too late. Too late. They have like, we contacted Negative Land, because you can actually choose the sound that is playing, and we contacted Negative Land, and there's Christianity Stupid in it. Wonderful. There's the nuclear compost area, so that's the 8-bit agrarian memory drive, but you first have to start it. It takes a long time to find the stuff to start the 8-bit agrarian memory drive. Strange trash. Let's take the strange trash.
Продукт четырехцветной печати. Metal Hammer магазин. Важнейший печатный орган в сомнительных кругах.
What's that?
Отвратительно. Отвратить извращенство. Дрянь. Ну и морды. Что за бестол...
Whatever. And there's a label. Let's have a look at the label. And now we get it.
Вот и адрес. Ну вот, так и думал. Хулиганы из соседнего США Оберцюгерсдорф.
So, I would say, maybe we'll go to one more place here, because that's interesting for you, and then I'll stop and go to the next project. Because, you see...
Кегель, помилуй нас. Что же тут случилось?
случилось? Смертоубийство.
They killed all the chickens.
Страдания. Экономический кризис. У меня коленки дрожат. Одна единственная курица осталась в живых. От нее зависит пропитание нашей родины. Иди сюда, курочка. Цып, 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 цып. Цып, 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 цып.
The cute little chicken. I think I'll kill it. I think... I'll go somewhere there. I think there's some kind of a monument there, but no. Let's keep it and go to the outskirts. It's the mine area.
Нагло захватили наш прекрасный надгробный холм в начале 90-х годов.
Whatever.
О нет! Курица испепелена! Дурак! Что ты наделал?
Mom, Dad.
Это ведь была последняя курица. Опора народного хозяйства уничтожена. Теперь придется...
Yeah, yeah. So, I would say you have a long time to play. It's monochrome.at/suz, like in zebra, dash game. So you can download it for yourself. I can tell you the place where you can find it afterwards. How many more minutes? 15. Oh, that's fine. Okay, then I would say I go to a project that's called Ars Electronica. We are from Austria. You know, everybody's talking about Ars Electronica. And we thought, actually, it's an invitation to you to help us with that. Because we think that there is one really, like, really important part of technological, like, progress that was never, like, really focused on in an art exhibition or in a scientific conference or a computer conference. And that is, like... pornography and technological innovation. So pornography is one of the most driving forces of technological innovation, and we want to actually do a conference about that. So if you're interested, it's not a joke. We really want to do it sometime next year, maybe in 2 years. It takes a lot of research to do this stuff. Basically, there were, like, between 1840 and 1997, it's just 1997, it like doubled after that, but just between 1840 and 1997, 800 sex toy items were patented at the American Patent Office. And there is, for example, the first Polaroid camera was called Swinger, and it was called Swinger for a certain reason, okay? You might know the story about the VHS tape, because, like, the Video 2000 tape and the Betamax tape both were, like, superior in their technology. They had really clear it was really good. But VHS made it on the market because of the license fees, because the VHS consortium didn't ask for any license fees for VHS tapes. So the porn market set on VHS, and that's why VHS became, like, the videotape format of the 1980s and 1990s. Not Video 2000 and not Betamax, but they were, like, better. So there are a lot of interesting stories about technology and pornography. I mean, I think in 1890, there was one person in London, his house was raided, and he had 300,000 pornographic pictures in his house in 1890 or something like that. So there was, like, a big underground market of pornography photographs in the late 19th century. And we'd like to focus on that. And especially, I mean, I'm sitting here among fellow nerds. You might have recognized that in the last 10 years, like, most of, like, chat systems and really, really, like, interesting technological advances in internet technology were driven by
pornography companies and stuff like that. So basically, Ars Electronica, not a bad joke, but if you have any interesting stories or if you want to do a talk at our conference or whatever, actually we don't know where to do it because we don't get any funding for it in Austria. So I don't know where we're doing it, maybe in Amsterdam or something like that. Or in San Francisco, it might be a good, interesting idea. So I see warning 10 minutes. Okay, so if you're interested, please stay here, contact us, send us an email. We're highly interested in doing this conference and exhibition. Okie dokie. We have 10 more minutes, maybe two more projects. This project is called Brandmarker. And Brandmarker is a project we started in 2003 because we thought there is a logos, brand logos, corporate logos are like one-way communication. You have to recognize them, you have to see them, you have to decipher them, but you don't have to reproduce them. So we asked people in Austria to draw logos, corporate logos from memory. So if somebody would go to you and ask you, I mean, it's easy now because you see it, but if somebody goes up to you and says, yeah, please draw me the Apple logo from your mind. It's not quite as easy, but basically we don't want to make fun about those people because most of them didn't really do a good job in drawing the logos. But it's about short-circuiting like your reception, let's call it like that. And I'd like to show you a couple of the tries the people did. It's starting, it's Firefox. Come on, you Firefox. Where are you? Oh, no, the Firefox collapsed. Oh, there it is. Okay. In brand speak, it's called share of mind, if you don't really recognize a brand. So what logo would you like to see? I mean, there are a couple of European logos there because they are highly popular in Europe. So, but most of the others you should actually know. What should I try?
Adidas?
Okay, let's try it. Ah. It's the leaf. Maybe it's the. I don't know. Wrong direction. But I mean, Apple is really interesting because many people have Apple computers, but it's so slow. Oh my God. Ah, yeah, there it is. The interesting part is they mix up left and right. And I talked to a biologist who is interested in evolutionary studies of the eye. And he told us if a big cat approaches you in the savannah, it doesn't matter if it comes from left or right, you just run, okay? So the structure of the eye isn't really into recognizing or left and right is. You can really flip it horizontal and it doesn't matter. So that's the reason why many people flip up left and right in their memory. But you can see, the old one, yeah. Nerd. Think different is good too. Apple. A. And that's good. And this guy actually asked him afterwards, so what did you think, why these stripes, and why this cutting in the middle of the stripes? And he said, oh no, I confused Apple and IBM. maybe I should, Toyota is really, that looks like Weyland Yutani, And there's a lot of, whatever is that, it's like a mushroom. And, of course, the tea. And maybe Coca-Cola is the last one, yeah. They enjoy. They're actually getting it quite well. Some write it with a K. And this one is good, actually. It was a guy asked him. So you've drawn, the Pepsi logo. So was this some kind of a political statement or something like that? And he said, no, I thought that's Coca-Cola. And I said, no, it's not Coca-Cola, it's Pepsi, yeah? You know, rival. Yeah? And he said, oh no, fuck! I don't know the most important logo in the world. And I told him, no, don't. I mean, it's not the most important logo in the world. Don't forget the cross. But but it's okay. But I mean, the can. The can, and this one is really like this. It's dynamic. I mean, like the people start to do like creative work. They start to draw. I mean, it's the first time. And maybe some of the sperms here. You see, I mean, look at that. I mean, whatever. And once again, left and right flips. A lot of left and right right flips. Okay, that's for Brandmarker. You can have a look at our homepage. And now, it's time to infect you. We started the 14th of July. The 14th of July is the birthday, the founding day of the nation of Zambia. And you don't want to know what's the nation of Zambia. I can tell you, because I have some application forms here. The nation of Zambia, you can become a member of the nation of Zambia. You get a paper, and if you agree and you want to become a member of Zambia, first of all, you have to think, are you citizens of the United States or the constitutional monarchy of Canada? Okay? So if you're a Canadian or a U.S. citizen, you can become a member of the nation of Zambia. If you're an illegal alien or stuff like that, it doesn't work. Okay? You have to be a citizen. So you get a copy from me, for example, and you agree you want to be a Zambia and a nation of Zambia, an official representative of the nation of Zambia. So you go to our homepage, you enter the Zambia code, and then you have a map application, and you can map the place where you have been infected. So we have like an epidemic spreading map of the United States and Canada, and we can have a look where the zombies pop up. And there are actually some zombies popped up the last days in San Francisco and Los Angeles, but we spread the filth on the eastern coast more. Like, there are lots of zombies in Toronto. There's even one in Ithaca. So if you want to become a member of the nation of Zambia and you want to leave the United States of America, or you can just become a sleeper if you like, so you don't have to infect people, you just can stay a citizen but don't infect people. So come to us, register on the homepage, and spread the disease. Welcome to our world. Zombie or not to be, this is no question. So, and if I have another 5 more minutes, do we have 5 more minutes? Yeah. Well, then I'd like to sing a song with you. No, I'd like to sing a song with you, and it's called Let's Network It Out. Because we're big networkers here. We join together. I think I'd like to take all of your hands and put it out and stretch it out and take other hands. And we'd like to sing it. It's a country song, actually. We're in the United States of America, I mean. And Roland, is everything ready? Okay? So, okay. Yes. I can see it. Okay. Then I would say... You'll get the feeling, okay? Start.
Meeting people all across the universe. Give them a smile, give them a try. Go for a ride on the blue planet Earth. You can be high as the sky.
I can't sing, but whatever.
Let's network it out. Let's network it out.
You can network it out. I want to cry.
Let's network it out. Let's network it out.
You can network it out.
Give peace a chance. Give peace a dance. Asking yourself,
how are you? Let's have a party, post-communist party. Let's all be good, nice and true.
You're skeptical behind here, I know it.
Let's network it out. Let's network it out. You can network it out.
It's kind of repetitive, you know, it's a song. Yeah.
Let's network it out. Let's network it out. You can network it out.
You can jump around if you like, but
let's reach for the future. I know this sounds kitsch. Let's dance. Let's dance. Let's dance.
Yes.
Let's give to the poor. Let's take from the rich.
Richard Stallman is next door.
Let's friends. Let's friends. Let's friends.
And now we have some like carriage return errors in there, but forget it.
Get it out. Let's network it out. You can network it.
I have to stop and I go.
Let's network it out. Let's network it out.
Whatever. You can network it out.